Romans 8 is where I'll read to you first today, if you want to turn to it, the 8th chapter of Romans. Last week I spoke to you on the question that John asked me 26 years ago, where is God? And last week we spoke about the fact that God is in his holy habitation. He is in heaven. That's where he is. And that's where you're going to be one day. Isn't that just fantastic? But today I want to talk to you about another answer to the question, and this is another answer to the question, where is God? And it is also true. And it is almost incomprehensible when you think about the fact that Solomon said on the day that he dedicated the temple, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. But today I want to try to show you that another place where God is in each individual child of God. And then now, do I believe that with all my heart? Do I fully understand it? Are you kidding? How can the God that inhabits eternity live in the mortal body of every child of God? And y'all, I'm not talking about, listen to me now, I'm not talking about like one piece of God. You know, let's just estimate that there's 1 billion children of God on the planet. By the way, grace will allow for that. Grace will allow for there to be 1 billion or more born-again children of God on the planet, even though we know that the gospel hasn't reached that many. Say amen. So let's just say that there's 1 billion. Just, I'm not talking about 1 billionth of God dwelling in a child of God. I'm talking about God dwelling in each of those billion children of God. Can you say amen? You know, the Bible talks about some of these things that are beyond our comprehension, but we can believe it. Isn't that fantastic? Okay. Now, just to put it in a nutshell, here's what I think happens. I think when God gives someone eternal life, it's a new creation. I'll say more about that in a minute. And I think when that happens, wherever that person is, however how old they are, doesn't matter, wherever they are, no matter what, when the Lord quickens them into divine life, they are made a new creature, and God, the Spirit of God, takes up its abode with that new creature in the mortal body of that child of God from that moment. And so we're carrying him around wherever we go. Romans 8. I wouldn't be willing to say these things if I didn't know they were taught in the Bible. I'm not, you know, nobody's smart enough to figure all this out. It's got to be taught us in God's Word. Romans 8, two verses, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now what that means is you're not unregenerate. You're born again. In the flesh there means unregenerate. But you're not unregenerate. You're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's the way it is. So all of God's children have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. People that don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them are not God's children. And yes, there are some out there. Do I know how many? No. I'll go to my grave, I think, convinced that there will be more in heaven than in hell, but there's going to be folks in hell. And let me say to you one more time, the punishment of the non-elect The unsaved in hell will glorify God just as much as God's rewarding the saved in heaven. It's just on the opposite end of the spectrum. I wish everybody understood that. Okay. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now skip down to verse 16. And I love this one because it talks about the Spirit in us and then the new creature too. The Spirit itself, if you're in this condition, if you're born of God, and the Lord has put a new creature in you, I'm going to describe that in a minute if the Lord will bless. A new creation. A new spiritual creation in you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. So, the Spirit that God gave us in regeneration, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You got two witnesses. And I love the Bible says, in that mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Don't you? And I'm going to, okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say this. If our country would institute that, which was in the Old Testament, civil practice into our government, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You don't be prosecuting people unless you got witnesses. Anyway, enough of that. Okay, so hope you can see that the Spirit of God dwells in the mortal body of every child of God, and it's. I don't understand it, but I know it's got to be true. Okay, now, turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, and these are verses you know. This one here, I could probably quote it to you, but let's look at it here. So, y'all look, there's a new creature produced in every child of God as a result of regeneration. It's a new creation. Incidentally, let me ask you, who or what has the power to create from nothing? Only God. So this is how we know that it is God that produces regeneration, that effects regeneration. It's God that does it. The gospel does not. God, there's power in the gospel, y'all, but it's not the power to create something, right? Therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know it well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that prepositional phrase in Christ means born of God, saved, quickened, in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word creature there, basically, we would say creation. Old things are passed away. So there's something passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now that all things there means internal. Even that all things right there has to be carefully interpreted. Because we know for sure that regeneration does not change the nature of the body. Regeneration changes the nature of the inner man, but it doesn't change the nature of the body. And that's why we still have the problems we've got. Right? And why we argue with ourselves and can't get along with ourselves and are all bipolar. I mean, every one of us. and the inner man's as good as it's ever going to get, and your outer man's as bad as it's going to get, and what a, right? And the new creature, according to Romans later, is made subject to the flesh, y'all. That's how it stays in there. And what that means is we still have the natural tendencies, the natural sinful, wicked tendencies of our flesh, even though we are born of God. And we still struggle with sin and wickedness, don't we? I've said this before, why is it that when I get mad at Becky, I can chew her out and bite her head off and I never have to stop and think about it? The words come automatic. But when I repent and I go to her to ask her forgiveness, I've got to think about it and study about it and figure it out and write the words out and try to contemplate it. And it's so hard. Why is the one so easy and the other so hard? Why? I want y'all to know, just because you face that dilemma, it does not mean you're not saved. It means you are. I want you to know it. How many of you would like to do better in your Christian walk? Don't raise your hand. How many of you would like to do better? But when the rubber meets the road, we're not willing to put forth the effort, are we? You know why? Because you're still in the flesh, even though you're a born-again child of God. It's crazy. But that's the truth of the matter. If I told you anything other than that, if I stood before you today and I said to you, if you're really saved, I mean if you're really burnt spot in the floor saved, you won't do X, Y, Z, I'd be lying to you. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? Am I saying it's okay to do? No, it's not okay. And we suffer, don't we? I mean, yeah, we suffer. Okay. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Regeneration is a creation. It is the creative act of Almighty God. This is why I always use the term immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does not use the Bible or the gospel or mom and dad or churches or preachers or anything else. It's the Holy Spirit alone. And the reason I know it's the Holy Spirit alone is because it's a creative act. You're created anew. And that new creature that is in you is holy. Ephesians 4:24, it's created in righteousness and true holiness. It is glorified, Romans 8. Y'all listen, from the moment of regeneration, which I'm convinced in most, if not all, of God's children takes place when they're babes, maybe even. I'll get to that in a minute. From that moment, there's a creature inside you that is glorified and ready to go to heaven at the moment you die. Do y'all believe that? Or does it have to hear the gospel and, you know, do something else to get ready to go to heaven? No, it's ready to go to heaven the moment the Lord puts it in your mortal body. Are you with me? It's created in righteousness and true holiness. Y'all, it's in you. Y'all, it's the real you. It's the real you. It's the you that will live forever. It's the real thing. It's the eternal thing. And I think John tells us it cannot sin because it's glorified, it's in the image of God. It's born of God. Y'all listen to me. That new creature that's inside you, since it is born of God, of the Holy Spirit, it's like God. It's in the image of God. Hallelujah. It's not in the image of mom and dad. It's in the image of our Heavenly Father. And this work of regeneration goes on at all hours of the day by the office work of the Holy Spirit all over the world. I hope you believe me. It is not and cannot be thwarted by what man does or does not do. It is the work of Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar said, he does his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That was a converted Babylonian king. And he knew more theology than most seminary graduates. That's mean. That's pretty mean. But it's true. None can stay his hand. Y'all remember my sermon on the Virgin Mary? The Holy Spirit came upon her. The power of the highest overshadowed her. I'm going to ask you, what could she have done to say no to that? Where could she run? What could she do? She didn't have anything to do with it in the first place. God chose her. I would like you to firmly believe. Now I know, listen, I know the dilemmas you face. I know. I'll pick on Chris. Chris sent me a text this morning. I'm mad at her. And said, I'm making that apple dump cake you love so much and bringing it to church. And my flesh wanted to give her a cussing. Because Beck and I are trying to lose a little bit, you know. Now, I did not say, Chris, get thee behind me, Satan. I did not say that. Why is it so hard to do what we know in our inner man is right sometimes? Why is that so hard? All right, I'll tell you something else I'm not going to tell you today. I'm not going to tell you that if you're really burnt spot in the floor saved, you won't want to sin anymore. I'm not going to tell you that because that's a lie. Why would I tell you that? And if I told you that and you believed it, you might leave here today and say, well, I must not be saved. What I'm here to tell you is you are. And if you've got this dilemma of the inner man versus the outer, you know what the Bible calls it? It's the inner versus the outer. That's why we're supposed to put off the outer man, put on the inner man. Don't listen to the outer man, listen to the inner man. Amen. That little still small voice down in there. And doesn't the still small voice get buried under the noise of a crazy world? Now, this new creature that I have no words to describe, except it's a spiritually perfect being born of God inside each child of God, produced by the work of God in them. And y'all listen, I'm going to tell you, it is most of the time, if not all the time, below the level of their consciousness. Otherwise, how could John the Baptist have had it? And how could the Bible say, how could Christ say, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? What? You mean to tell me, Lord, that there are babes and sucklings? Everybody in here know what a suckling is. You mean to tell me there are babes and sucklings that praise God in their little inner man? Absolutely. And if you believe in grace, that's no problem for you to believe. You'll say glory to God. He can reach that little babe in arms, the same as he can reach somebody in the House of Representatives. And boy, do they seem to need it. Okay, I didn't say that. Now, see, this is so great. And the reason the world doesn't like it, you know why the world doesn't like to hear this? Because man doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the work of God. God gets all the glory for your new creature. Probably it happened to you when you were a baby. Probably. That's the Bible pattern. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise, Christ said. And when he said that, he was quoting David, Psalms chapter 8. I'm getting ahead of myself, but anyway, I do that all the time, don't I? I know you're used to it. It's pitiful. Now this new creature, turn to Ezekiel 36. There are several places that I could read. I'm going to read Ezekiel 36, and I'll give you some extra verses, so you can put them in your notes if you want to read extra, okay? Ezekiel 36. Verse 26. Everybody there? It's on page 10,000. It's on page 1,012 in my old Bible. It won't be in that page in your Bible. And the thing about it, Chris will be mad at me if I don't eat some of that dessert. She'll be mad at me. She'll get mad at me. Hey, you tell me it isn't fun to be a Christian. You tell me it isn't fun to come to church. When this regeneration occurs in the heart, in the soul of every child of God, it has some new stuff. What does it say over there? It says in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. Look at verse 26 here. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. So, regeneration produces a new heart and a new spirit inside each child of God, and that new heart is created in righteousness and true holiness, and that new spirit is too. And here in a minute, I'm going to show you that we even get a new mind. Boy, didn't we need one. You get a new mind. Do you realize you've got two minds? That's part of what your problem is. Why you're bipolar? Why you argue with yourself? You still got the carnal mind, you've got a new spiritual mind over here, and they don't get along too pretty good. They are at enmity one with the other. And it's going to be good if you know that, so that when, and boy do I need to hear this, when I think bad thoughts, I'll say, no, that's a bad thought, and replace it with something good from my other mind. Becky's after me all the time. Becky will say, what are you thinking about that for? She will say, you need to think about all those things that are lovely and just and of good report and all that. And I say, yes, 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 yes. You see why I say she's my best friend, closest advisor? You mean to tell me you've got two minds in there? Absolutely. And the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be, until you are born of God. And then the spiritual mind that you've got can actually supersede it if we'll be trained and learn how to do that. Are you with me? You do not have to follow the carnal mind anymore after you're born of God. Prior to being born of God, it's the only mind you've got. With me? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Look at that. Regeneration is, in a sense, a heart transplant. And I will give you an heart of flesh. Now, there's a place where the word flesh is a good thing. What he means there, he takes away the hard and stony heart out, that heart which cannot feel toward God, and gives us a spiritual heart which can feel toward God. So, you got a new heart, got a new spirit. Now, let's keep reading. This is all the work of God. Are you with me? Hey, my friends, let me ask you, can this take place anywhere in the world, or does it only take place where we go to take the gospel? Can this take place anywhere in the world? Or do we have to go somewhere with the gospel for this to take place? Now let me pause. Y'all, one of the number one most important jobs you and I have is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to do a better job about it. I hope we will continue to do a job about it. Do better and better, spread the gospel more and more, reach out more and more, bring more and more people in here to believe the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have got to understand why we do that and what the purpose is and what God's purpose is in it. And we've also got to understand that only a born-again child of God's got the mind or heart or spirit with which to understand it. You see how all this ties together? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. See that? So now, you've got a new spirit, you got a new heart, and the Lord puts his spirit in there too. That's what I told you a moment ago. The Holy Spirit takes up its abode inside each child of God with this new creature. That's why you have the double witness within. Wow! Isn't that great? Now, okay, here's the verses you can write down if you want to study that more. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. These are the ones I'm leaving out that teach the same principle, this new heart, new spirit. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 22, Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, and then Hebrews 8, 8 through 12, which we studied in Bible study Wednesday night. In Hebrews 8, Paul quotes Jeremiah. Everybody got those written down? You need me to repeat them? Repeat them. Okay, Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. Hebrews 8, 8 through 12. And that'll keep you busy about 6 weeks figuring all that out. Trust me. Everybody got that? Brother Wayne, need me to repeat something else? Second one. Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. Okay. Now, so, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where is God? He's in each of you. He's in each child of God, wherever they are. No matter their circumstance. Are you listening to me? No matter their circumstance, no matter their level of intelligence, no matter their civilization, no matter their party line, this hallelujah does not depend on the works of men. It is the work of God. And none can stay his hand or send him, what doest thou? Do you realize we don't even have the right to argue with God, to question God? We should not even question what God does. Now, does God allow suffering in the universe, world? Yes, he does. Don't even question it. Let me tell you, 98%. Let me say, a large percentage of the suffering that you and I are involved in, we bring on ourselves. Don't blame God with it. Back to myself, if I would not bite Becky's head off, I wouldn't have to feel guilty for it. I wouldn't have to go and ask repentance and forgiveness. Amen? But I think she needs to hear this. Or something worse. Of course, none of y'all ever... No. Just a low-down preacher. Thank you, Brother Doug. 1 Corinthians. Not only do you get a new heart and a new spirit, you get a new mind, glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Of course, the answer to that is nobody is instructing God. Did you know that men have in times past gotten up on their high horse and wanted to take God to task for things God has done? Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that does not mean you're as smart as Christ. That means the spiritual mind that God gave you came from Christ, came from the Spirit, and it's a spiritual mind that thinks thoughts about God in Christ. Your mind, your spiritual mind, and without this spiritual mind, you cannot understand the Bible, preaching, or anything. But with this spiritual mind, you can. And this spiritual mind is as holy as your new creature, as holy as your new heart, as holy as your new spirit. Those are all, I don't have any idea how all that's separated out. I just know the Bible says you've got them. So this is how come you've got a bad mind and a good mind, and your good mind isn't going to think bad thoughts. So when you're thinking evil thoughts, and yes we do, don't we? I mean, you know, you'll just be mowing the yard or whatever, and then something will, and you'll, what? Where'd that come from? I don't want to think that. Let me ask you how you can think something and then think that you don't want to think it if you don't have two natures. Romans 7. Oh, my friends, if nothing else, I hope you leave here today knowing you're a child of God. If indeed you are, and I believe you are, you wouldn't be here. I hope you don't leave here thinking, well, I've got to do better. I'm not going to make it. No, we need to do better. Any Christian, any preacher, any church that thinks they're as good as they can get is already worse than they can readily imagine. Right? All right, here Paul is describing his condition. Did you know he was a schizophrenic too? Bipolar, whatever you want. I mean, no, he had this. Paul even says, you know, the things that I want to do, I can't do them, and the things that I hate, they're the things that I do. And I'm thinking, you know, you need to go to Father Freud and get yourself psychoanalyzed. Right? And all he's talking about is the normal condition of the child of God while they live on this planet. Paul even says, I can't do the things that I would do. And there's a measure of truth to that, but we can't ever use that as an excuse for not trying. But that's absolutely true. You want to live, I promise you, your new spirit and your new mind and your new heart want to live a very godly, even sinless life, but you can't so long as you're in this mortal body. There's your dilemma, right? And by the way, the devil will even use that against you. The devil will say to you, you can't do it anyway, just forget it. There's no point trying. You can't do it. You're going to, no matter how much you try to serve God, you're going to fail. Just chuck the whole thing. And some children of God do that. Right? Here's what Paul had to say about it. Verse 25. I thank God. And here he's describing his own dilemma. He wants to do good. He's got an evil nature, good nature. You do too. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Now I wonder which mind he's talking about. He's talking about the mind of Christ that was given him in regeneration. That's what. Your carnal mind, you can forget that. The carnal mind's the one we got to keep under control, right? With the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That is your dilemma as well. Why is it so easy to develop a bad habit and so hard to develop a good one? We by nature are so full of pride that we don't even want to submit to God. That's our nature. That's just in our nature. Right? And we will want, if we're not really careful, we can have the tendency to want to think that we're the ones in control, that we can actually keep God from doing stuff, and we can have that tendency to think that too. Okay. Okay, so, my friends, in each child of God, no matter where they are, no matter their circumstance, no matter their age, education level, third world country, or civilized like America, if you want to call us civilized, no matter where they are, the born-again child of God has a new creature inside. A new heart, a new spirit, a new mind. This new creature is created in righteousness and true holiness. It is in the image of God. One day it will go to heaven to be with God. That'll be when you die. It's the real you. It's the you that will last forever. It's the inner man, the new creature. And part of Christian education is to learn to follow it. To learn that it exists and learn to follow it. The still small voice instead of the loud yellings and screamings and catcalls of the world. Wouldn't we be better off if we listened to that still small voice more? Can I give you a little hint? Turn the volume down on the world. The world is way too much with us, and we are way too much with the world. I'm just telling you. Me too. Me too. Okay. This new creature is in the image of God because it is born of God. You remember the principle that God gave us in creation? Like begets like, begets like, begets like, begets like. This creature that's inside you was not created by men or the gospel or mom and or dad and churches. It was created by God. And therefore it is like God. Now it is not God. You are not God. And you're not ever going to be God. There's only one God. But you are a child of God. Born of God. Now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be in our flesh. And that new creature is glorified from the moment God puts it inside the mortal body of the child of God, wherever that child of God is, and whether that child of God knows what has happened to them or not. Are you with me? When we were down there to see Jacob, we went to see Jacob. I got to hold Jacob. Babu held Jacob. Becky held Jacob. And we basically wore the skin off that baby. And I told John and Olivia, I said, right here is undeniable proof that a person can be loved and not know it. That baby is loved and cared for and doesn't even know it. I wonder if there might be a lesson there. I wonder if any of God's children are loved and cared for around the world and don't know it. And when this new creature is put inside the mortal body of the child of God at the moment of regeneration. And by the way, guess who chooses when that moment is? It's not the person. I mean, come on. In Revelation, when the Lord's standing at the door and knocking, it's at the door of a church, not the door of a dead sinner. He's not standing at the door knocking to get in to the heart of the dead sinner. The Lord may be standing and knocking to get into a local church and have fellowship with that local church. Now that can happen. And that's pretty spooky. The church, I think it was Laodicea there in Revelation. The church at Laodicea had locked the Lord out of their church. This is described now. Then the Holy Spirit takes up its abode with this new creature. You got a double witness in there. In Colossians 1:27, we are told it's Christ in you. Now, you say, oh, I thought it was Holy Spirit. That's right. Christ, the Holy Spirit, they're used interchangeably in the Bible. Holy Spirit's given credit for regeneration. Christ is given credit for regeneration. They're all of one mind. These three persons of the Godhead are in one mind. Now try to imagine that. Three persons in one mind. There's a zillion things I thought about right then. For example, Becky likes Brussels sprouts. I can't even stand to smell them cooking. They smell like a boiler mill or something. What three people can you think of that are in one mind? I mean, come on now. Three people in one mind? I want you to try to imagine God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three individuals in one mind. And who can turn them? There's no such thing as them disagreeing. No schism in the Godhead. Never has been, never will be. They agree on everything. So do you think, okay, I'm going to leave that at that. You think about that. They never just disagree about anything. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, I don't always feel Christ in me. I get it. I don't either. Do you realize probably, it's just a sin when we gripe and complain and bellyache all the time? Probably. But we do it, don't we? I mean, you know, I'm talking about me now. First Corinthians 6:19. What? Yeah, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I think I mentioned this last week. Now the reason I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19 is I want you to look at the first word in the verse. What's the first word? What? I want you to know every time I say that, I'm being biblical. When I say, what? That's biblical. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Ay. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? How are you getting plainer than that? You got this new creature, new mind, new heart, new spirit, and the Holy Ghost. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and which ye have of God. That means God put it there. God's the one that decided to put it there. God's the one that willed to put it there. God's the one that died on the cross in order to legally, righteously, and holily put it there. And ye are not your own. Okay, let me close here. I was going to try to quit early today. Matthew 21:16 is when the Lord says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You remember what was going on in that lesson? Go read. This is in Matthew chapter 21. The Lord's in the temple and the children of God are saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest to Christ. Children! Incidentally, what were the children doing there? I thought they were sequestered off some. No, the children were there and they were hollering hallelujah to Christ. And the Pharisees got bent out of shape. The holier than thou's. Looking down their noses at everybody, got bent out of shape because the babies and the children were hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest to the Christ of God. Jesus said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Do you understand that praising God is not something that a person that's dead in sins even can do? Do you realize when the Lord says out of the mouths of those children were praising God because they were born of God that day? They said they realized Christ was Messiah, even if the Pharisees, who might have been born again, had been trained so long that they didn't recognize Christ. And can that happen? Can a child of God be misguided so long they reject truth? Could it be? Is it possible that the Holy Spirit actually dwells in the mortal body of a suckling child in the most remote jungle on the planet? I hope you can say amen. Thank you for being here today.